Hey, what's up, you guys? Welcome to the Listen Bitch podcast with your host, Brandon Lynette, your go-to destination for unlocking your full potential and embracing the extraordinary possibilities within you. Thank you for joining me today on a journey of self-discovery and empowerment as we explore the transformative power of stepping into greatness. Come into alignment with the God-given power and gifts, unleashing your soul, and learn to co-create a life you love. As you become a creator of your own destiny, here you're going to find that inspiration, the practical tips, and sometimes abrasive nudge to take the leap of faith towards your dreams. You are in the right place. Buckle up so we can unleash your inner badass today. You guys, I have stay-at-home mom and lover of the gospel, Star. I'm super excited for her to speak to us today just because obviously the homeschool and I'm not new to Christ, but I definitely took a long road to get back to him. I was very much a rebel in my journey. So, I'm super excited for you to share your story. Star, tell us about you and all the things.
You broke up there. I didn't hear you. I'm so sorry.
I said, welcome to the podcast. Tell us your story.
Okay, so my whole life has just been kind of one big testimony, to be totally honest. I was born into a family that was not the best. Neither of my parents should have ever been parents. I was lucky enough to have great grandparents that recognized that and fought for me. And so that's how I was raised. I was raised by my great grandparents. But my biological parents still had a very strong hold, I guess. The courts were not very keen on completely taking away all rights. So they still had kind of an influence on me. And that was not great. My mom could be very manipulative, and she could make you see things that weren't really there. So I had a very tumultuous childhood. My great grandparents were the most amazing people on the planet, and I, as an adult, and they've been gone for many, many years, I can look back and see what I couldn't see then. And my grandfather raised me in church. And I've heard it from the time I was, I don't even know, probably an infant. But with having my mom in this ear and my dad in this ear, they did not have those same belief systems. And so I questioned a lot of things. I questioned if my grandfather was doing the right thing, if he was telling me the truth, when I would have certain questions and I'd go to him and he would give me the answers. And my immediate response was, "Are you lying to me? Are you lying to me? Because if that's the truth, then why is my life the way that it is?" As I got a little bit older, I could see things a lot clearer, but I still had kind of those rebellious tendencies. I actually met my husband when I was 15, and we had our daughter when I was 17. So of course I had my family telling me, "You know better than that. You know better than that." And I wanted to just push against that. "Well, she's a baby. How can you tell me what that this is wrong? She is this beautiful little girl." And they're like, "She's not wrong. The way she got here was not the best way to do that. Like, you can't argue with that." But of course I did. And my husband came from an LDS background, so he was completely resistant to any to church, period. And so I was like, "Well, great, we fit. Like, this is great." And then as our daughter was getting a little bit older, certain things from my childhood that my grandfather instilled in me were kind of sneaking back in. And then we had our oldest son. And the more children that I had, the more things that I was, the more, that I was raised with were just kind of in my ear, like, "Come on, you need to get these babies in church. You had an amazing childhood, regardless of all of the other stuff that happened. The core base of your childhood, you had people who loved you. You had people who loved Jesus that was trying to instill that in you. You need to do that for these kids." And so I went to my husband and I was like, hey, listen. So I know that this isn't exactly kind of where we, like our whole marriage was based on, but I think we need to go to church. He looked at me like I was insane. He goes, you want to do you, what? And I was like, yeah, I think we really need to take the kids to church. He goes, well, you didn't like it growing up and you felt like this and you know how my childhood was like. And I was like, yeah, but what if we make it different for them? He goes, well, how would we do that? I don't know. We're raising our own children. We don't have other people trying to put in their two cents. Well, it didn't happen right away. Then we got pregnant with our fourth. And when he was a baby, we lived in California. And when he was a baby, just the whole dynamic of the state was already changing. Our two older kids were already in school. And there were certain things that were going on we just didn't like. Well, then my brother-in-law and his wife moved to Texas. And they said, you know, that this place is great. This is awesome. Like the state is just really, really nice. And we thought, okay, we'll go out and we'll come visit. We missed them to pieces. They were a huge part of our everyday life. So we came to Texas for a vacation. And before we left, we were here for 7 days. And before we left, my husband had a job and he had put in his put for his job. He's saying, okay, we're moving, so I'm
I
leaving.
love that.
We came home and in 3 weeks we had packed up our entire lives and moved states. So my husband, the job my husband had secured fell through. And so we were now in a state where we had basically nobody. We had my brother-in-law and his wife. That was it. Four kids, no job, and we were kind of freaking out. And my husband put in applications everywhere, everywhere. He put in applications at gas stations, at Walmart, Target, you name it, because we just needed to have an income. And he got a job. It was right around Christmas time. So he got a seasonal position at Walmart. And the lady that was training him, she was kind of asking him, like, why are you working at Walmart? Because he has like all of these, I don't know the word I'm looking for. He's a very smart man and he can
Okay.
do his wheelhouse. It was not working at Walmart. And so she goes, why are you working at Walmart? And so she told him, or he told her, and she said, you know, I think God put you in my path. And he goes, yeah, okay, whatever. And she goes, no, seriously, hear me out. And he was like, yeah, okay, fine. Like, you know, in one ear, out the other. And she said, I would really like it if you would come to church with me on Sunday. And he goes, yeah, I think I'm gonna pass. And she goes, well, just think about it. Just think about it. And so, and I had kind of been in his ear, like I didn't want to push, I didn't want to be the naggy wife, but you know, every so often I'd bring up, hey, maybe we should try to find a church. And you know, it went in one ear, out the other. And he come home from work that night, and he said, you will never believe. He's like, I have to deal with this lady for the next 2 weeks while she trains me. And all I'm going to hear about is, you know, come to church, come to church. So, well, maybe we should go. He goes, oh, how did I know you were going to say that? I'm like, yeah. Because I've been saying it. So finally, between her and I, we both talked him into going. Like just one, it's just one Sunday, and it ended up being their Christmas program, and it was adorable. All of the kids were all dressed up, and the babies were like little sheep that were running around. It was adorable, and he actually enjoyed himself. And he goes, oh, okay, well maybe this isn't so bad because the only church he'd ever known was an LDS church,
Okay.
totally different. So. This was a charismatic Pentecostal church. So there's, I don't know, there's, you know, there's the charismatic Pentecostal and there's United Pentecostal. So the charismatic is completely different. United Pentecostal is one where the women can't cut their hair, they don't wear makeup, they can only wear skirts, all of that. So I grew up, my uncle actually is a United Pentecostal preacher.
Okay.
So when he told me what church it was and I looked it up, I was like, oh, I can't go there. Look at me. They won't let me through the front doors. And he was like, I don't think that's how it gets. Her hair is real short and she wears makeup. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna trust you. And that's how I learned what the difference was because I didn't know at the time.
Right.
So we decided to go again the following Sunday. And we actually heard a sermon for the first time. And I knew I wanted to go back. And I knew that's where I wanted my kids to be. And it took a little more convincing for him from him. But eventually he started going to the church. And he wasn't just, it started out as him just going, just to fill a seat. And then it was, he started reading the Bible. And then I started reading the Bible more because I saw him putting forth the effort. So I wanted to put forth the effort. And it just kind of snowballed. And we both were just taken over. We were both taken over. I mean, we went there and we, our excuse was, we're doing this for our kids, not for us. And it turned out we were doing it for all of us. The whole, it was a family thing. Our marriage got better. The way we interacted with our kids completely changed. We were just happier. And yeah, I mean, there are so many things that happened in my life and I didn't even realize until that moment that I was already leaning on God. Like I said, my great grandparents raised me, and my great grandfather, when I was a freshman in high school, got pancreatic cancer. And I watched him deteriorate right in front of my eyes. And he was one of the strongest men I'd ever met. Not just physically, but just being in his presence. And to watch him die like that, it was probably up until that point was the hardest thing I'd ever experienced in my life. And I did not realize it at the time, but I was praying out to God. I thought that I was just didn't know what I was doing, to be totally honest. I didn't realize I was praying, but I was praying to God to heal him. And when it got to a point where we knew it wasn't going to be a healing, I was praying, just let it be. Let just take the pain away. I don't want him to be in pain. He was in so much pain. And the morning that he passed away, he came in and he got me up for bed from bed for school. And he called me Star Baby. That was what he called me ever since I can remember. He said, Star Baby, it's time to get up for school. And he just looked better. He had color to him and he was standing straighter. And it was just this mo it was a wonderful thing to see him as he had been, not what he had been turning into. And I remember my feet hit the floor and we heard a crash. And I ran into the hallway and he was going back to bed and he had collapsed onto the floor. And what we heard was him falling into the door. And it was just instant. He was gone before he hit the floor. And I found out that I guess when you have pancreatic cancer, the death process is very painful. When it is about your time to go, you're going to be in nothing but pain, and nothing is going to stop that pain. Like they will dope them up with morphine just so they are out of it enough to not realize they're in pain. He didn't feel it. There was no pain. I mean, for day, I mean, that morning it was different, but there had been days before that where he just had more energy and he, instead of just laying in bed, he was sitting up in the living room with the family and things. He didn't experience that. And it wasn't, you know, until years and years later that I realized that God had answered my prayer, that there, he went fast and there was no pain. When I was, well, actually the day I found out I was pregnant with my daughter. So I was 17. My great grandmother was diagnosed with lung cancer. And same thing. I watched her go from this force of a woman to a very frail person. And same thing, I didn't realize I was doing it, but I was praying for healing. She was my mom. Like nobody wants to lose their both of their parents before they're even an adult. And yeah, years later, I realized that I had been praying for the same thing for healing. And when that, what was clear that wasn't going to be happening, that it was just painless. Well, none of my family liked my husband. They all thought that I could do better. Which the majority of my family has now changed their tune all these years later, thank goodness. But yeah, they didn't like him. Well, the night before she passed away, I was laying up, she was in the hospital, and I was laying up in her hospital bed. And I had suspected I was pregnant, but I wasn't sure. I hadn't taken a test or anything. And I was laying up in bed with her, and she was asleep, and she woke up. And she looked me dead in the eyes and she said, "I want you to know that it's okay." I said, "What's okay, Grandma?" "You're going to marry that man. And I don't want you to think that it's wrong. It's okay." And I was like, "Okay, Grandma. Okay." Because I mean, she's on so many different pain medications
Right.
and things, but you know, she had been saying some pretty crazy things for a few days. And
Yeah.
it was, you know, and I said, "Oh, okay. Okay." And she goes, "And he's going to love that baby."
Oh.
"What? He is going to love that baby." I said, "What baby?" And she just kind of gave me that look like, "Okay, let's not play." And I was like, "Oh, okay, okay, Grandma, okay." I said, "I'm fine. I'm going to be fine. Everything is fine. I said, you don't need to worry about me." And she goes, "Oh, honey." She's like, you'll understand one day that no matter, you're always going to worry about your children." And she went to sleep and the hospital all made us leave. And so I didn't get to stay with her. And we got the phone call at about 3 a.m. that morning that she had passed in her sleep. And again, she wasn't in any pain. And she was lucid enough to have this conversation with me. And it was that morning I just said, "Okay, I guess I should probably pee on a stick." And I was pregnant.
Yeah.
And, you know, 9 months later, here comes this beautiful little girl. And then 2 months after that, we got married. And we've been together ever since, but we're married ever since. But yeah, these are all things that I guess because of what had been instilled in me from such a young age that I was doing without even realizing I was doing it. And then yeah, so later when I really got back into reading my Bible and having a close relationship with Jesus, I realized what I had been doing, and that my biggest fear was that my children were going to fall away. And then I realized it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they do. Because if I instill this in them from the time that they are little, that it's, even if they don't realize it, even if they don't know what they're doing, they are always going to have that relationship. So, yeah, I think when I kept having kids, like that, just that feeling, that heaviness on my heart that I need to get them into church. That was God speaking to me and telling me, "You needed me and you didn't realize you needed me, but I was there. And I was there because you were blessed enough to have parents that made sure you knew me." So that was kind of, and that was one of those light bulb aha, oh my goodness, he works in such crazy ways moments. So yeah, now my husband is very active in church.
Not working at Walmart anymore, I assume.
No, not working at Walmart anymore. was able to get back into his industry, which was a huge blessing because you cannot support a family of six
on
working
Walmart
at Walmart.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, that actually, he was able to get back into the industry because of our church. You get to having conversations with people, and he mentioned, you know, "Oh yeah, you know, when we first moved here, I had this great job lined up and it just kind of fell through." They ended up actually getting rid of the position. And didn't let us know before we moved. They knew we were moving from out of state and they didn't bother to call and be like, "Hey, you might want to change those plans." Nope. So that was great. But it all happened for a reason. I feel like if we hadn't have moved the states, if he hadn't have gotten the job at Walmart, if he hadn't had that interaction with the trainer, none of this would have happened. It was all like this domino effect. I mean, that was just perfectly orchestrated. Which is just so beautiful if you think about it.
Yeah.
Everything is, you know, like we have a granddaughter who's almost five, and we are raising her because my daughter, God love her, realized that she was not prepared to be a parent. And instead of trying to attempt to be a parent, she loves that little girl more than anything else and realized that she couldn't do it. She wasn't prepared to do it. So she talked about putting her up for adoption, and we said, let us do it.
Yeah.
Why? If we are more than capable of doing this, let us do it. That way she is still your daughter. You still get to watch her grow up. You still get to see all of these amazing things, but you know she's going to be taken care of. So we've had her since she was born. My daughter's ridiculously involved in her life. Like, it's
Yeah.
almost as if she's mom that just travels a lot, you know? The dynamic is actually very, very good. Vay knows that that is mom and that I am grandma and that that is grandpa. And when she gets a little bit older and she, kind of realizes that this isn't how everybody lives, we
Right.
can explain it to her age appropriately. But my daughter did, she did walk away from the church for a very long time. She had some church hurt. So the church we were going to that really got us back into, or me back into, and him introduced to God. Church politics, we ended up combining with another church, and they basically took over. And it ended up not being a good thing. So we left, and we are now with a different church that is amazing, which again, I feel like was orchestrated for a reason. I was
Right.
nursery director at our old church. I was nursery director for over 10 years. And I've always looked like this.
If
I
you're
like bright.
listening, since we're on audio here, I know
Yeah,
you guys
you
can't
can't
see
see.
her. I'm going to explain a little bit here. She's got some tattoos and she has, bright pink hair, makeup, beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, I've always just kind of been danced to the beat of my own drummer. And I've never believed that my outward appearance has anything to do with my heart or my love for God. And I don't think he cares, honestly. I mean, what does the color of your hair have to do with anything?
Right.
Our church, the way that it was, real they fully supported that. I could walk in with a new tattoo and they're like, oh, let me see what you got this time, or a different hair color. And they're like, oh, what color is your hair this week? But when the other church kind of took over, I did not fit the aesthetic that they wanted. So that was kind of a bummer. But at the same time, they instead of just telling the truth, which would have hurt. And still would have probably left, because nobody wants to go to a church where you feel like you're walking in and you're just being judged based off of the color of your hair, or the way you do your makeup, or whatever it is,
Right.
because that is not God. But they lied to me, straight to my face, lied to me. Oh, well, we just can't afford to pay your salary anymore. Nobody does children's ministry
For the money.
for the paycheck. But you would have to be insane. So I said, okay, that's fine. I mean, I was making like $90 a week, and I was
Yeah.
taking that and I was putting it back into the nursery anyways. So I wasn't gaining anything out of it really. And I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. And they're like, huh? I was like, that's fine. That's totally fine. Oh, okay. Well, we don't think we're going to really have a nursery anymore. We really don't have enough kids for a nursery. I'm like, we had like 15 toddlers last week. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then because I had a lot of friends in the inner workings, I started asking questions, and then I found out that, yeah, that's not the reason. The reason is because I look different.
Right.
So I was like, okay, well, that's cool. That's my cue to exit stage left. And a lot of my friends who aren't really into, like, they know God, but they don't know God,
Right.
question me, well, you're gonna find another church? Well, yeah, why wouldn't I? Well, aren't you afraid the same thing's gonna happen again? Oh no, it might. Well, why would you want to put yourself through that? That's not a God thing. That's a human thing.
Right.
Why am I going to turn my back on God because somebody who has a human heart and who makes human choices and human mistakes, I'm not going to let that affect my relationship with God.
Right.
That's just throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Right.
And I've actually heard that a lot. Like my daughter, she had a lot of church hurt from our old church, especially after that whole thing happened. And she did. She kind of turned her back on the whole thing. And she was one of them that asked me, why would you do that? Why you just stay home and read your Bible? Well, no, I do, but you really need that community. And it's taken her a long time to kind of come back to that. And she's not quite there yet, but we have, she has finally agreed after 6, 7 years, to go back to church. She
Wow.
is coming to Easter service with us. So that alone is an answer to prayer. So I'm
Yeah.
very excited for that. And we've been praying a lot for her. And we're really hoping that when she comes, she realizes that not all churches are created equal. Some of them actually do hold to what the Bible teaches.
Right.
And it's unfortunate that some don't. And that is unfortunate because I feel like it does push a lot of people away from having a relationship with Christ because that's all they know, that's all they've seen, that's all they've experienced.
Do you, I love that everything just works out for you and that you've acknowledged to give, to give the credit where credit is due. What got you into homeschooling?
I guess the school system sucks. It's horrible. We're very blessed to live in an area that has not been affected wholly by this, but we noticed that there was a lot of things being taught in school that did not align with what we wanted our children to know and to be taught. And it wasn't things that were elective. Like we couldn't sign a permission slip and say, no, don't teach this to our child. It was part of like the core curriculum. It started out very small where you didn't really notice it. It was just a little something here, a little something there. And then it just seemed like it kept growing and growing. My boys who are now 17 and 18, were in their first year of middle school when we decided to pull them and start homeschooling. And the straw that broke the camel's back was a report that my 17-year-old was asked to do. Mind you, he was 11 at the time, 11, 12 at the time. He
Okay.
was asked to do a report on a book, and he didn't get to pick the book. The book was assigned, and it was, for I believe it was for his history class, and the book had nothing to do with history at all. It was the history of I'm trying to remember the name of the book and I cannot, but basically the book was the history of drag queens, how
Oh
they
boy.
started, why they started, what was the importance of them.
Yeah.
And hey, listen, if you want to read that book, if you want to know that is, you go right ahead, but don't you dare force that on my 11-year-old son. Don't you dare tell him that that is a part of his grade. And if he doesn't read it and he doesn't do a report on it, that he is going to fail that section of the class. Absolutely not. I emailed the teacher and I said, hey, listen, I want him to do the assignment 100%, but he is not doing it with this book. And she basically emailed me back and said, well, if he's going to do the assignment, yes, he is. We were at the school the next day, pulling my kids out of school.
Nice.
We allow my so my oldest son, who's now 21, I think he was a sophomore in high school. And he goes, hey, if you're gonna be homeschooling them, can you just take me too? Like, there's nothing wrong going on in his school. He had not encountered anything like that. He's like, well, if you're already going to be doing it, can I do it too? I was like, why not? What's one more? What's another one? So we just pulled all of them. My daughter had already graduated high school at this point. So yeah. And then as soon as we pulled them out of school, like it wasn't very long after that that the whole COVID thing happened and schools were shutting down anyways. And you know, there was like the distance learning, and I heard horror stories about distance learning, and I thought, yep, we did it right at the right time.
Right.
Just at the right time, because I don't think I could have handled that distance learning stuff. There's no way. Like,
Right.
I had friends of mine who had still had kids within that district, and they're like, oh my goodness, this is the worst thing ever. Like, their kids would like just start just cry and have breakdowns, and it was so stressful and it was so horrible. And so I was like, yeah, we made the right decision. Because we had discussed that maybe homeschooling through middle school and then taking them, allowing them to go back once they
Right.
hit high school if they wanted to. And then after COVID and the schools opened back up again, I would, you know, having conversations with the parents that I knew, and a lot of the stuff we were seeing starting out in middle school was now running rampant in high schools. And I thought,
Right.
yeah, we're done with middle school. We're not doing that anymore. So my 21-year-old graduated from homeschool. I make my own curriculum. So I teach what is state standard. And then we do a lot of like Bible studying and Christian study and Christian history and things like that. So because I'm not an accredited school, like
Right.
I'd love to be, I'm not. So they have to either, once we are done, I'm preparing them to get their diploma. So they have the choice. They can go take their GED, or we will pay for them to have to do an online class and do their diploma. My 21-year-old son opted to do the diploma. So he went through and he did that. He said it was actually fairly easy. He was so scared. He thought it was going to be the hardest thing. My 18-year-old, he is technically in his like senior year. So he is making the decision now what he wants to do. My 17-year-old has already decided he wants to do his diploma. My granddaughter is in, we are doing like, she's in like basically pre-K. So we have a lot of time before we have to worry about that with her.
Right.
But yeah, it's actually a lot of fun. I never thought I could be a homeschooling parent. I was that mom that was like, when is summer break over? Like, when do I get to throw them back? Because my house was quiet and I had, you know, I could clean one room without the other one being destroyed. It was great times, great times. And so when we made the decision to homeschool, I was terrified. I'm like, I'm gonna hate it. I love my kids. I love having them. I love spending time with them, but I'm gonna hate this. I love it. I love homeschooling them. I love sitting there and teaching them something and then watching that light bulb go off and know that I had something to do with that.
Yeah.
It is one of the best feelings, and I am so glad that we made that decision.
What are if we have a listener right now that's considering homeschool, where would you direct them? What would be the first place you would guide them? Because it is overwhelming and there's a lot of, information that's crazy out there. So where would you send them to get started?
If you are not, if you don't care that it's not an accredited program and you don't care that they won't get like a diploma at the end of that specific homeschool, we started with a program called Easy Peasy. It is Christian based, but if that's not your thing, you don't have to use the Christian curriculum. They have curriculum that's just your regular old curriculum. That is what we started with. And that is actually what I use for my granddaughter. And as my boys got older, I will take bits and pieces from that, and then I will add my own stuff to it. So I really teach my kids based off of their personality. So in Texas, you have to teach science, history, math, and reading, you know, just the English type of stuff.
Right.
But it doesn't tell you what kind of science, what kind of math. So my kids never are they're not getting to know geometry. They're just not. So for math, I'm teaching them how to budget
Right.
and how to live, how to balance your checkbook, how to, you know, just the normal, that's considered math, and that's completely okay. Science, we're doing automotive science. So they're going to learn how to change a tire, how to change the oil, how to take care of a vehicle. So you're not spending a ridiculous amount of money to go and have it serviced. You're going to be able to do that yourself.
Right.
So yeah, if you don't care about it being accredited, I would definitely start with the Easy Peasy program, because it is very easy. It's very easy to navigate. It's very easy to go through, and you can add and take away what it is you need or don't need, want or don't want. And then once you really kind of get into that and you get comfortable with that, it actually becomes really easy to start researching things on the internet and just, grabbing from it over here and grabbing from over there. Things will just get kind of come to you almost.
Yeah, we use Always Ice Cream, and it's something Dragons for boys, and it's accredited, and I love it because it is that Christian foundation. So pick and choose, they're adding new courses all of the time. Like they have a computer programming course they just added, which I think is perfect for nowadays because that's where we're headed. But so what is let's say your you we have someone listening today, what would be the one thing that you would want to say to them about cultivating that relationship with Christ?
No matter what it is you think you have done. No matter how bad you think you might be, you are not so lost that God can't find you. It might take that one prayer. It might take you downloading the Bible app on your phone and just reading that one scripture. There is always a first step that has to be taken, and it has to be your step. You can't wait for a miraculous sign to come down and be right in front of your face, a neon glowing flashing sign. It is quiet and it is small. And it is just one step. And if that one step is all you do, and then it takes a month, it takes a year, and you take that next step, as long as you are progressing forward, you are going to find him, because he has always been there. He has never left you. He is just waiting for you to flip on the light switch.
I love this. And I want to speak to that, the point that, your husband was raised in a different belief, and I know they're strict with their beliefs. And so, I mean, even you as well, the Pentecost, I mean, there's strict sides to every religion, I believe. And I feel like my husband was an atheist when I met him. And that's because he came from a home that was like hypocritical Christian, the kind that, or Seventh-day Adventist is what they were, the kind that, they believe in God when grandma's coming over. And so they have to hide the alcohol and the cigarettes. And so it was very like, let's pretend to be one way, but not the other way, and all these things. And it definitely drove him away from that. So I met him and he didn't believe in God. And what I knew to be true in that moment, even at that time, because I'd been close to Christ and I kind of rebelled and I just kind of pulled away and I just shut everything down, but at my core I knew he was there, right? And so it's funny because my husband's mom was like, you can't marry him, you believe in Jesus, he does not. And in my heart I'm like, God is love, and if I can show this man what that unconditional love is, he inadvertently will know who God is without me trying to change him or to force it on him. So I was never, ever like, you have to believe in God. I just stayed true to what I thought that unconditional love was. I stayed true to that, to the belief that I had. And, it took time, but he prays with me now. He's there. He's there with that relationship. So I just, want you guys to realize that an atheist, it's not a committed choice. There is a chance to come back, and there's usually a story. And 90% of the time, It's because of a really strict, unhealthy, toxic upbringing. Like, this kid gets his ass beat because, you know, he isn't following the Bible to the T. Who wants to believe in a God when you're going to be getting a belt to your ass for, you know, whatever, wiggling in church, not sitting still, or, you know, whatever that looks like. There's a really toxic story behind everyone who is struggling with that relationship right now. Take us through your favorite verse before we say goodbye today. What is your favorite verse or favorite story, favorite anything from the Bible at this moment?
I am horrible at remembering the actual verse, like where it is. But this has gotten me through some very difficult times where I am questioning things and asking God, like, hey, you still here? But it is the story of Joseph when his brothers sent him to Egypt, and he was, you know, enslaved and he was in prison and all of that. And when his brothers came back during the famine and they were asking and they realized who he was and they're apologizing and falling all over themselves, and he told them, but God, you sent me here, but I am here because of God, but God. But God did this for me. But God put me here because I was to save you. But God put me here because I was to be the savior for Egypt. I was to be the savior for the world. And yeah, so if when I'm going through anything and I'm thinking, you know, why am I dealing with this now? What did I do wrong? And I have to remind myself, but God, there is a reason for this. You might not realize it. You might not know it now, but there is, but God.
But God, I love that. And this story, you guys, if you're not familiar with it, this is, I was just talking about this on my Facebook page about how, you know, his brother sold him to slavery and, you know, he went through a lot over the years and his father mourned him like it was a death. And I mean, all he knew, he was dead. But it's not just that story that he overcame things. It's the story of forgiveness. Like, number one, your family is going to be the first to turn their back on you. This happens and it happens every day. And this is why Jesus doesn't preach at home. This is why he would say all the time, like, you cannot do this at home. You have to leave where you are to step into who you can be. And there's so much truth to that. Mm-hmm. The story of Joseph is that one of just forgiveness, because he didn't have hatred. He didn't hold it against them. It was a matter of, he found gratitude in the entire story because God.
Yep. Yep. Because it's God. Beautiful.
It's a great story. You guys, check it out. You can actually join my Facebook group, Bible Study for a Badass. I still have the daily schedule for reading the Bible in a year that is posted every single day. So if you guys are curious about that, you can join the group. And listen, bitch, dream big. Life is too short to play small. Embrace who you are called to be through the power of God. Own your shit and be brave as you step into your full potential as a co-creator. Until next time, love yourself in the moment, flawed, fantastic, and beautiful. Brandon Lynette reminding you of your potential with a side of chaos. You're in the arena, so just keep swinging. Star, thank you so much for your time and for sharing your story. We appreciate you being on today.
Oh, absolutely. It was great.
Awesome.